is the Stargirl After Show with Sarah and Sean. Your post-show breakdown of DC Stargirl with Easter eggs, exclusive behind-the-scenes info, and cast and crew interviews.
This is our destiny.
I finally know who I really am.
I'm Stargirl.
This is the Stargirl After Show.
Hey, Stargirl fans, welcome to another post-season edition of Stargirl After Show, sponsored by Stargirl.tv and DCTV.news, your best resources for news, media, and spoilers about Stargirl and other DC Comics properties. I'm Sean.
And I'm Sarah.
And this week, we have another extended interview for you, and it is with the wonderful Angelica Washington, who played Beth Chappell / Dr. Midnight.
Oh, this, I'm going through Stargirl withdrawals, and listening to her interview just gave me such happy vibes from seeing Beth on screen.
Yes, Beth is an utterly fantastic character. Her joy and optimism is infectious, honestly.
It is. My 1 year old, he has, I think they came with like a construction goggle set, but he has these goggles that he likes wearing. And every time he puts them on, I always think of him as Dr. Midnight.
Do you walk around behind him, like doing your best Henry Thomas voice?
And oh, I should.
You should. Yeah. Get in the habit.
Yeah.
A quick question for you. I believe during the finale, you said that your teenager watched the show with you for the first time.
Yes.
That episode, has he gone back?
Not yet. We haven't restarted it yet.
Do it. Go back. Rewatch the whole thing with him. I'm going to rewatch the whole thing very soon.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure I will multiple times.
So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our extended Angelica Washington interview.
Stargirl After Show.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Stargirl After Show.
So we're here with the wonderful Angelica Washington, who is our very own Dr. Midnight on Stargirl. Angelica, how are you?
Hi, Sean. I'm great. I'm so great. Happy to be here. Happy to chat and excited for everyone to see the show.
Very happy to have you here. So I just discovered something today, actually.
Okay.
I did not realize that you are actually pretty much the same age as Beth on the show.
As Beth?
Yeah. You're like you're actually high school aged.
Oh. No.
No. Did the internet lie to me?
The internet totally lied to you. But I love that. Oh, okay. So when you Google me, it says I'm 16, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I don't know where that came from. I'm from Bakersfield, California. I'm early 20s. And I think Breck actually pointed that out to me when she was Googling stuff. And she was like, why does Google say you're 16 years old? And I was like, that's so interesting. I don't know. But you know what? It's totally working in my favor because I feel like even when I was auditioning for Stargirl, I think that they also probably just, you know, they Google it. They do extensive background checks. I mean, like any little tweet you've ever done or said in your whole life, they will find it. And as they should, you know, you're going to be a superhero on their show. They're going to do crazy background checks. But yeah, I think I remember them being like, oh, she's so young. She's the youngest one. And I was like, I think Breck is the youngest one. They were like, no, Breck's not. They didn't say anything about age. But then when Breck and I moved in together, I mean, even before that, we had talked and I knew how old she was. And I was like, no, Breck's definitely the youngest one. So thank you for asking that. I feel like I'll never tell my real age because I don't want anyone to actually know the truth. But I love that it says I'm 16.
Well, that's fair. And I did think it was a little weird, being that it's such a major role, because, you know, usually they don't want teenagers because there's minor restrictions.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have tighter working hours. It's much easier to get a young looking person in their 20s.
Yes, this is very, very true. And then also, I feel like it's helpful that our parents are not on set micromanaging us like minors, you know?
Right. That also is a thing.
It's definitely a thing.
Well, that makes me feel a lot better, honestly, because I was astonished. I was like, what? She's 16?
I know. When I saw that, I was astonished as well. I don't know who makes those also. Like, I don't know who made them. I don't know how you change it. I wish I could make like a Wikipedia page for myself with like accurate information, but I don't know how to do that either.
So. I'm sure you can. Now, I also saw, maybe this is wrong, I saw a website that said that your birthday is May 19th.
Right. It's May 15th.
May 15th. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really cool that your birthday was on the day
that
the CW premiere is, right? But it's not.
Yes, I know. I've had a few people like who have also Googled me, messaged me on Instagram, like, oh my goodness, the air date's on your birthday. That's so exciting. And then I have to like think twice, like, oh, it is? Wait, it is? Wait, what? And then I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, because it says May 19th. But it's still, Sean, I promise you, it feels like the most incredible birthday gift because it's like a few days right after my birthday, and Breck's birthday is May 25th. So it's in between my birthday and her birthday. So it still feels really, really special. And we were the first two cast in Stargirl. So we feel like it was like just for us.
That's amazing. Also, I should say I got hired to work on the show on my birthday.
Did you really?
I did. I didn't start on my birthday, but that's the day I interviewed and got the job.
Oh my goodness. I love that. What an amazing birthday gift. Okay. Now I wish my birthday kind of was May 19th so I could just join you in that. That's so cool.
It's close enough though. But so you said you and Breck were the first two cast. Can you tell me a bit about how this role came to you?
Yeah. So I got the original audition just from my agent, like normal. And I had saw that it was Stargirl. But at the time, they were also auditioning for the Disney movie Stargirl. So it was a little confusing because I had just auditioned for that movie like a week prior. And I was just like, what? I'm going in for a different character. Like, I was confused about what it was. And then I saw when I read the producers, I saw, you know, all the names. And I always Google the producers if I don't know who they are off the top of my head. And I knew who Geoff John was, but I was just like, oh, that's interesting. He's doing a Disney movie. Like, that's interesting. And then I looked it up, like Geoff John, Stargirl. And then I saw that it was this whole comic series. So I did not know of Stargirl, the comics, until I was auditioning for this. So that was really exciting because then I was like, oh my goodness. So then I started looking online. I read the first six comics that I could find online. I read those and I was completely convinced that I was auditioning for her best friend in the comics.
Mary.
Yes, exactly. I don't know why. I was just like, I saw her. She's I think Cyclone, right? I think she's Cyclone or something like that.
No, they both have red hair.
Okay. Completely different people. Great.
But they are different people.
Okay. Well, I was just like, oh, I'm definitely her best friend. Her best friend is like so exciting. So when I auditioned for Stargirl, I had zero idea, not even an ounce of thought that I was a superhero.
Because they give you dummy names.
Yes.
For your sides, right?
Correct. My audition name was Rachel. And it just, the breakdown literally was like, you know, African-American, excited, positive, bubbly teenager who's really intelligent. And I was like, oh, great. That sounds like me. Okay.
That does sound like you.
Yeah, that was it. And then I was like, okay, great. So I just went in. The first round of auditions, I remember there were so many girls there. Oh my goodness. It was like one of those days where it just felt like every girl in LA was there. And there were so many. And of course, I waited my turn. And then I went in. I feel like I had a great audition. And, you know, they laughed and they made me feel like it was a great job. They didn't make me do it again. They were like, great, that's all we need. And I was like, okay. And I left. And then a week later, I got the callback. And that was really excited. Jeff John was in the room for that. And so was Melissa, our co-showrunner. And I went in and it was at Warner Brothers and it felt really fancy and really cool. They had us like in this like theater type room where we like went in and they were sitting in like bleachers or like, you know, like in a theater, they were sitting in like the seats. And it just was like, oh my gosh, it felt like a really big deal. But yet still, I didn't really know how big it was because it didn't say it was for DC Universe at the time. It just said Warner Brothers. So I'm like, okay, Warner Brothers is doing something, this show about this comic, but I still didn't click that it was, I had no idea that I was a superhero. And then after that, I waited, I think 2 weeks. It was like 2 weeks had gone by. And then they were like, okay, we want to test her for Beth Chappell. And I was like, they're like, hey, Angelica, they want to test you for Beth Chappell. And I literally said, who's Beth Chappell? Who's that? I was like, wait, I've been auditioning for Rachel. This is a whole completely different character. And they were like, oh, no, Rachel never existed. It was always Beth Chappell. They just called her Rachel because they couldn't tell you, you know, who it was. So then I started looking up Beth Chappell and I'm like, oh, my goodness. Beth Chappell is Dr. Midnight. This is a whole character. She's a superhero. I was just like in a freaking spiral, like just going down, like anything I could find on the internet. I was looking it up. I was Googling. I was shocked that we like kind of look alike, especially with my hair, because I definitely, like, I kid you not, Sean, a month before I auditioned for Stargirl, I tried to completely change my hair. Like, I wanted my hair to be like long and straight again. So I tried to like go get a Brazilian blowout and then it failed and my hair completely curled back up and was like, absolutely not. And now I'm so grateful because casting was like, when we saw your hair and then we saw you and then you were so funny, we're like, we knew it. And I was like, oh my gosh, so crazy.
Were you disappointed at all that you didn't get a crazy like disco bell bottom suit?
You know, it's funny when I first went, once I booked it, after the test, I went to the Stargirl offices at Warner Brothers and I got to meet the writer's room and Jeff was there and they showed me, you know, the sketches that they had for the super suit. And I was like, just confused because I looked at it and I was like, who's that? I was like, that looks like the older Dr. Midnight. And then Jeff was like, yeah, it is. It's the older Dr. Midnight. So we're switching up the suits. It's like, we have you, but you're in the old suit. He's like, but it's going to be like this funny thing. We're going to make it about, you know, we're going to make him, we're going to incorporate him into your character. And I was like, okay, that's going to be great. So, and then but I hadn't read anything yet. So I didn't really understand exactly what he meant until we started getting scripts. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. So at first I was like, oh man, I thought I was going to be in like this yellow and black, like kind of hot and sexy, like super suit, but it totally makes more sense that I'm not. And also, between you and me, I feel really lucky because everyone else's super suit is like skin tight and they can't eat french fries on set because they're like worried, you know, they're like, I can't have these french fries and this burger right now because you're going to be able to see it through my super suit. But I am covered completely. So I definitely had my portion of fries and their portion of fries.
Nice. So yeah, the suit, I love that they kept it like baggy, you know, yeah. Like, so Yvette's got Wildcat suit, but it like form fits to her.
Right.
But you're just wearing Henry Thomas's suit as is, and it's baggy and you're tripping over the cape. And it really adds a whole other layer of comedy that you can deal with there.
Yeah, it totally does. I really enjoy the bagginess. You know what? In some moments, it's really, really hot because what people can't see is I'm wearing like three layers of clothes underneath that to make all the baggy like sit up on my body. Because if not, it would just like the pants would just be baggy, like everything would just be too much. So I'm wearing layers underneath it to make it like still be on me. and it's extremely hot. I mean, I never even thought I could be that hot, especially we were filming in Atlanta in the summer in that humidity. I mean, it was just crazy hot. But
would you be surprised if I told you you are not the first person that I've interviewed that has said that?
No, because I think that all of us are so hot. I think, like, when people don't, when I ever thought of superheroes growing up, I didn't really think, oh wow, their super suits are hot and heavy. That never crossed my mind. You just look at them and you say, wow, that looks so cool. They look amazing. And now I'm like, goodness gracious, you have no idea. The amount of heat that your body creates under all those layers, and it's just, and in the heat already, when everyone else is already sweating, whoo, it's a lot. But regardless, we're so blessed to be doing what we're doing. So it's a minor little sacrifice, you know, it's a minor sacrifice, but the supers are hot and mine is heavy. I don't think everyone else is as heavy as mine is. Well, I mean, maybe Cam's is heavy, but mine is really heavy because it's supposed to be baggy. So I have to have all these layers, and then I'm dragging the cape along. So my neck hurts very often. I got a massage, I think, like every 3 days.
It's nice to be able to have a massage every 3 days.
This is a nice work perk. But it really... It is. It definitely is. But it also felt very like necessity because my cape gets stepped on all the time because I'm dragging it. So if anyone is walking behind me, even if we're running, they'll accidentally step on my cape and it jerks me back, kind of like a whiplash feeling. And so my neck, oh gosh, it hurts so much. So I'm like, I have got to get a massage. Like, I just can't do it. So you're right. At the end of the day, though, it is really nice to get a massage because I'm not like just getting it on my neck. You know, I'm doing like a full body massage. It's great. It really is great.
That was actually one of my questions. I know there's like some gags where you're stepping on the cape, but there were accidental steps as well.
Yes, so many. I really hope that they'll post the blooper reel. I don't know if they'll ever do that, but if they do, you'll be able to see, because there are many moments in scenes where like we start running and then Cam might accidentally step on my cape and then like I fall back into him, or we're going down the stairs and Breck accidentally steps on my cape or whatever it might be. And so, yeah, it's really crazy. There's a lot. I think every single day I ever wore my cape, it got stepped on every single day. But I was used to it at that point. Like, okay, someone's going to step on me today. It's fine.
Well, you know, you have to suffer for art, I guess.
Absolutely. We make little sacrifices for art. It's okay. We love it. We love what we do. And I will do it again and again and again a million times over to be Dr. Midnight.
So when preparing for these interviews, I actually went through the scripts for every episode.
Wow.
And I wrote down the character arcs episode by episode for each character.
Wow. Amazing.
And I want to read you my note for episode 3.
Okay.
For Beth.
Okay.
You're not in episode 3 a lot.
Right.
But you're there just for a couple of scenes. And this is what I took away, was we learned that Beth plays musical glasses. And is either impressed by magic tricks or is kind enough to pretend that she is. Either seems just as likely. Does that seem fair to you?
100% accurate. Yes, totally. Totally.
So which do you think it is, though? Do you think that she was impressed by Joey, or was she being very nice to him to make him feel good?
I think it's a combination of both. I think she's like interested and like she likes that he does that. So she's like, oh, that's so cool, Joey. Like, that's awesome. But I don't think. And so then I think she is just really supportive. I don't think that she thinks what he's doing is the most magical thing ever, because then later we learn that she thinks Yvette and Breck are doing is like magical. But I do think that she is interested, and she really likes Joey. I think she really likes Joey and really supports him in what he's doing. I think she just kind of is supportive of literally everyone and just excited for everyone. But I do think that she's interested in his magic and she likes it. I don't think she's impressed, though. You know what I mean? Like, impressed is like, eh. But maybe she's like, oh, that's really cool. I like that. He's awesome.
That's a good point that she's sort of supportive of everyone. Because later in the season, when Breck wants to bring Henry onto the team, mm-hmm. Beth's the only person with the optimism to say, like, maybe he can change, you know, maybe he can find that inner good person. So maybe you're right, Breck, or maybe you're right, Courtney. This is a good idea.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. And optimism is definitely a word. That's great that you brought that up, because optimism is definitely a word that I think is probably Beth's strongest characteristic. She's continuously positive, and she's always optimistic, looking on the brighter side, and she continuously is giving people chances, which, I mean, that can be harmful as well, right? Like, how many chances are you going to give someone, Beth? But she just believes that people can be good. She just truly is like, but people can change, they can be good. And I also really love that about her too. I find that really inspirational, because she is so forgiving, and she does have such a kind heart that she is always willing to give everyone a second chance.
Now, when I interviewed Yvette, she said that the people who got cast pretty much are their characters. And while I feel like some of the villains may take some umbrage with that comment, I feel like maybe it applies to you more than anybody.
I would agree. That cast will tell me all day, you are Beth. You are exactly her. And I'm like, you guys, am I? But, you know, there are moments where I'm like, definitely. I personally think Beth is a better person than I am. But yes, I could definitely agree with Yvette that a lot of us are our actual characters, for sure. I would agree with you, though. However, I would not, like, Jake is not a bad person. Meg is not. No one on the ISA is actually terrible. In fact, I actually feel like Jake and Meg and Chris and Neil and Joy, like, I actually think that they are some of the nicest people ever, like, in life, in the world. So it's interesting, because they are playing like such these evil, dark characters, but it's so completely opposite of who they are. So sometimes I'm like, where did you pull that from? Because that's so, never seen this side of you. But then they're just really amazing actors, and that's why we have them. So it's great.
I do feel that one difference between you and Beth is probably that you, I imagine you have a little more self-awareness, because Beth can sort of prattle on endlessly.
I would agree. I like to think that I have enough self-awareness, you know, when I start getting annoying, because I am a talker. I talk a lot. In fact, in school growing up, that was the one thing I used to get in trouble for. Teachers would be like, Angelica's a great student. She just talks so much. And so my mom would always be like, well, that's my kid. And that's actually one reason my mom put me in my first play when I was 8 years old, because I kept talking in school so much. She's like, she needs an outlet. Because she's got to, like, go somewhere and do something where she can just talk. So I did my first play when I was 8. But yes, I do think that I, Angelica, have a lot more self-awareness. When I'm getting annoying, I can kind of feed off of people's energy and, like, realize, like, okay, they're not interested. Maybe I should just shut up now. And then I do. And I think it helps everyone. Self-awareness is really key. It is key.
It very much is. Now, you just mentioned that you did your first play when you were 8. Mm-hmm. How much did that bridge into your career?
I think it was really everything. I mean, I did my first play, like I said, when I was 8. I loved it. I fell in love with it. But then I actually took a break from acting, a pretty big break from like 9 to 14. I was in school. I got into all-star cheerleading and gymnastics, and I was competing really heavily in that. And so I was an athlete my whole life. And then when I got my freshman year of high school, short fun story. I was in drawing and painting my first semester of high school, and I got a D because I'm just truly terrible at drawing. Like, really, I make stick figures, but I do still feel like they were judging a little harshly, but it is what it is. So my counselor in school was like, okay, well, you cannot get a D in drawing and painting your first semester in high school. So we have to put you in something else second semester. What would you like to do? And that fall, I had seen my school do Fiddler on the Roof, and it was incredible. My high school had an amazing drama theater program, like just incredible. And so I was like, well, I watched Fiddler on the Roof and I really wanted to do theater, but I thought it was too late because I was already in drawing. And so he was like, okay, we'll put you in theater. And that was it. That day that I entered that theater class, it just skyrocketed everything inside of me. And I became obsessed with acting. I became obsessed with theater and with television and with film. And I knew I wanted to do acting so bad. I just knew it was in me. I was like, I have to be an actor. And I was like begging my parents, who have zero education about the entertainment industry at all. My dad was a police officer. My mom was a discrimination investigator. Like, they work in criminal law, so they have absolutely no idea about anything in this industry. But they saw my passion and how like serious I was. And so they were like, okay, we will figure this out. And we did. Here we are.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It was so great.
Now, I also noticed that Stargirl is not your first turn in a comic book property.
Oh, no. I did Marvel's Runaways. Is that what you mean?
That's what I mean. Yes.
Yes, I did. Very, very small character in there. Like, very, I feel like it's easy to miss me, you know?
Easier. Well, I will be honest. I watch Runaways and I vaguely remember something about there being a Gert number two. But yes. I do not remember.
It's okay. I was there really quickly. I was in season two. Look at me. I don't even remember. But I went in and I was one of the girls who was protesting with Gert. So we were like, we were like, undermine the patriarchy. We were like protesting, and it was this whole thing. So that was really fun, though. It also feels a lot like Angelica, like myself. But that was really, really fun. And I think that was my first time, you know, getting to watch those actors kind of, they don't have suits, I don't believe, but watching them really act and do their like superhero thing was really, really cool. I had no idea that, you know, like a couple years later, or maybe I think it was like only a year later, actually, that I was auditioning and I booked Stargirl. So I had no idea that, you know, in a year that something like that would have been me. But I had a really, really great time. And those actors are so kind and so sweet. And so I'm really appreciative of them. Yeah. Well,
that's fantastic. You know, sadly, all the Marvel TV stuff is ending now as they now do the new things with Disney.
Oh.
So Runaways is ending and Cloak and Dagger is ended.
Right.
All the Cloak and Dagger Netflix stuff.
I watched every episode of Cloak and Dagger. I love
that show. Was real good.
I loved it. So great. Oh, so, so good. Those actors were phenomenal.
But as the Marvel stuff goes in a different direction, now the DC stuff is ascendant. These DC Universe shows are all so, so good.
They are. They're really, really great.
Like, DC was already killing it with the CW shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then the DC Universe shows were like, no, this is what we can really do. And I feel like Stargirl is bridging that gap and doing what both those two things do well all together.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I do think, you know, DC Universe just takes it to another level. Every episode of the series on that feel like you're watching a movie. Like, every single episode, which is what's so special about the writing and the quality of work. So it's really, really special. And I agree with you. I think that we do a good job of bringing both of those worlds together. And so I'm really excited for people to see like this quality of work that we were able to create and bring it now to the CW. So I'm really excited about that, because I do also feel like every episode of ours feels like a little movie. Like, our graphics are so great. Thanks, Sean. And our stunts are so amazing. Everything is just so beautifully well done. So yeah, I'm really, really proud of it. I've never been this proud of anything I've ever worked on. So I'm really, really proud and really excited for people to see it. And so, yeah, and it's taken us almost 2 years. So at this point, I mean, I really believe that like really great things are worth the wait. So I'm excited.
And I like to point this out on the podcast all the time. People really should be getting the DC Universe, because mm-hmm. those episodes are longer in many cases.
Yes, correct. I think
episode one is a full 15 minutes longer.
Yes, totally. And like without commercials, nothing. So yeah, I would absolutely encourage people to see the full version, just like the full version of anything. And I don't think, I know people will probably think like, oh, they're just going to cut out like the scenes that don't mean anything. But I think all of those scenes mean something, and they're also necessary. And I think what people will find when they do watch the full version is that they'll feel like, oh, wow, this is like a mini movie that I'm watching. Because you're right, our episodes are a lot longer because they were originally created just for streaming. So I'm excited for the people who get to watch the full versions as well. I have DC Universe, of course, but I paid for it like everybody else, and I'm really excited to watch it on that.
I did go to our UPM and suggest that they should work with Warner Brothers to get the DC streaming app free for all the crew. And she said that was a great idea.
I do.
And then nothing ever came of it. So maybe she didn't really think it was a great idea, or maybe DC was like, haha, no.
Right. Well, we definitely should ask about that. Yeah, I do think that it should be free for everyone. It's not free for the actors either. So don't you worry. We're not getting it for free.
But for $8 a month, you really can't go wrong, especially with how beautiful Stargirl is. Mm-hmm. It looks like a movie. It's very cinematically shot. Everything is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is. And even for $8 a month, that's less than one movie ticket, you know?
That's true.
If you think about it, we're making a bunch of mini movies for y'all, and so it's less than the price of one movie ticket. So that's always really great. It's like worth it.
I don't think people understand that in television, you're really making a short movie, basically like half a movie, every 8 days.
Yes, correct.
It is insane.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. It's insane, and a lot is going on, and there's consistent changes happening all the time. And it takes so much time and energy and people, right? Like, it's not just us, even though I'm so grateful we have an amazing cast and crew, but there's so many people that everyone can't see that's working on this. And just the departments that we have, like, yeah, we have a costume department, which is our regular wardrobe. And then we have an entire separate super suit department, right? So they like handle that. And so all the different departments, and everyone matters, and it's really important. And so I would actually love if they gave everyone it for free so we could all watch and celebrate our work. That would be great.
So back to Beth. Mm-hmm. If you were to Captain Planet her, what do you think her part of the JSA would be? Okay, maybe Captain Planet's a bad example because no one represents the wind of the JSA. But you know what I mean.
I do. I would like to think that she's the brains of the JSA. Like, she is kind of like the, I'll figure it out and I'll show you guys how to get the hard work that you guys are doing done. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like she's more of like the brains of the team. She's the one who is like always doing anything technical, helping them break into all of these crazy places that they're dragging her along to. And she's always the one who's trying to think rationally, which I think is always helpful. Because a lot of JSA, you know, they're just so pumped up. They're so ready. They're furious and they're fierce. And so they're like, I can take on anyone. And so she's like, okay, but let's just think about this. We need to think rationally because we don't just want to like go get beat up. We don't want to die. You know, we want to like make sure we all come back in one piece. So that's always really, really important. And so I do think that she is valuable in that way.
And I think a large part of that role that she plays is because she has Chuck in her ear.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, her relationship with Chuck is so special, but definitely because Chuck has already like been through that, right? So Chuck is also telling her like, okay, but then there's going to be this person, there's going to be this roadblock. And then after you get past that roadblock, there's going to be this roadblock. And then after that roadblock, there's going to be that one. So it's helping her see the big picture so she can relay that to her team rather than just like going in and trying to like fight these people that they don't know what their powers are, right? Because you want to be prepared and equipped so you can handle whatever their powers are so you don't die.
Now, what was the experience acting with Chuck like for you? Were Henry's voice parts already recorded or were you just going by what was in the script and... Mm-hmm. Imagining the Chuck?
Yes. Thank you for asking. That is a crazy question because I was literally acting with myself and talking to myself every single day, all the time, imagining him saying it. Or sometimes we would have one of the first ADs read the lines off camera on days where I'm like, I really need to hear someone say this so I can react appropriately. But yes, all the time I'm acting with myself. There were like many days where I'm doing the scene completely by myself. They didn't have his recordings yet. Or they might have had them and they were changing them or whatnot, but I never actually got to work with any of his voice recordings at all. However, when we did ADR, it was really cool because I finally got to see and hear, like, see myself acting and hear his voice when they were editing everything. And that was really, really cool. So I'm really proud that it came out great and came out well, because that is definitely a skill, you know, that actors, I would say, should work on, because acting with yourself is a whole new beast. You know, there's a lot of realness you have to tap into as far as listening, being fresh, your reactions being fresh every single time, not like knowing what's about to happen, because I do know what's about to happen. I would basically memorize the entire scene, his lines and mine. So that way I knew what was coming. So I would know where I'm at in the script, but also not react to what's about to happen until it's already said. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely a new skill that I have, acting with myself.
So before I get to my final question, which is the question I'm asking all the cast, okay, I have to come out with a confession here. And that is that I believe that Beth is my very favorite character on the show.
Really?
Even before I got to see you live Beth, just reading her in the script even was a joy.
Oh my gosh, that is so sweet. That just made my whole heart melt. I love that. Thank you.
Like she literally has these great laugh out loud moments. I remember sitting at my desk reading the script for this episode when she's talking to Chuck for the first time. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm not programmed for social interaction. And she goes, neither am I.
Yes. Yes. I totally love that. Yes, I do love. I do think there's some really fun comedic moments that Beth has that I'm so grateful to have, because with so much serious stuff, you know, we need a little bit of like balance, you know, a little bit of joy and a little laughter and that. So, oh, that makes me feel so good. I'm so happy. And I hope that other people really see the warmth of Beth and like the funny in Beth and just the pureness and joy and positivity of her. And I hope that other people love her too. That makes me so happy.
I'm sure that everyone is going to absolutely love Beth because she is just a bright ray of sunshine in like every scene she's in.
Oh, thank you.
Even from the very start when she's like, oh, we're not friends. This is the loser table.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem sad about it.
No, she's just like totally content. She loves it. She's like, it's crying.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much. I'm really happy. And that's one of my favorite lines of Beth at all, actually. So.
But then neither am I.
Yeah. Like when she says, this is the loser table. I don't know what you're talking about. She's like, oh no, we're not friends. No, none of us are friends. This is loser table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really great introduction to her.
Absolutely. Love it.
So here's the question I'm asking everyone.
Okay.
So if you could not play Beth, what other character on the show would you have wanted to play?
That's a great, great question. If I cannot be Beth, oh gosh, that's so deeply loaded. Wow. Okay, I feel like there's like two people that I feel like I would really like to play. Can I tell you both? Can I tell you those two?
Absolutely, do it.
I can't just think of one, you know? So, gosh, okay, I would probably really love to be Shiv. I think I love, love, love Cindy. Cindy Shiv. I think Meg kills that role. She is so good at it. And we actually tested together the same day. So that was really special that we sat next to each other at the test and then showed up in Atlanta and we saw each other for the first time. That was really amazing. So we're like, oh my gosh, I sat with you at the test and now we're here. So there's that. And then, gosh, and then my second, I'm kind of like going between Wildcat or Stargirl, but I think I'm going to go with Wildcat because I love like all the cool jumps that Yvette gets to do. And I just love that. I love all of her really cool, like sick moves that she gets to do. But then again, Stargirl has amazing stunts and she has a staff. I'm going to go with Stargirl because Stargirl has a staff and that's freaking amazing. So
fair.
It would either be Stargirl or Shiv, Cindy, Courtney Stargirl, Cindy Shiv. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Good choices.
Yeah. Love those. It's like if I was a villain, I would definitely want to be Shiv. And if I was a hero, I'd want to be Stargirl.
So I did have one more question that I forgot about.
No worries.
But this is important to a lot of people. What responsibility do you feel in playing one of the very few female superheroes of color in television and film?
Yeah, that's, I think, what I'm probably most proud of. I never, ever saw a superhero on TV looking like me growing up. Never, ever. It wasn't until I was old enough to watch Halle Berry and Catwoman. And that was really, really pivotal for me just because I had never seen a black woman be a superhero like that. So that was really, really cool. But I'd never seen anyone who like looks like me. We bring up hair a lot, but like truly in the black female community, hair actually is a really big deal. So I never seen anyone with like a short fro like mine who looks like me, who's wearing natural hair that's not like straightened or whatever. And also who is really, really smart. I think that this type of character really defies stereotypical norms and terms that people associate black women with. And I love that we just get to highlight a black female character who is so intelligent and also is positive. Like I hate the term of like angry black woman because not all black women are angry. And usually we're not angry. We're just misheard or misunderstood. But I love, love, love that I get to be like this ray of sunshine that brightens this world of Stargirl and brightens everyone's like mood. And I get to bring laughter and joy to the show and a little bit of comedy. So I feel really, really blessed. And it's really important to me for young Black girls to see someone who looks like them on TV. Because representation really is everything. And I definitely didn't have that. And I know there were moments where I was a little like, oh, I don't know if I can keep doing this or whatever. But, you know, anytime I felt really sad or as I was pursuing this career and auditioning and hearing no after no after no, I would see people like Raven, right? From That's So Raven, or even like Zendaya, or once China Ann McClain's on Black Lightning, you know, people like that. That make you say like, oh, that's right, I can do this. Oh, that's right, I do deserve to be seen, and I do deserve someone who looks like me on TV. So I'm really excited for people to see me, and even my own nieces. Like, I'm so excited for my nieces to see me because they look like me, and I want someone who looks like them on TV that they can look up to know that they can do it too.
That must be very exciting, like, to be able to be a literal superhero for your little nieces.
Yes, it is so exciting. It really, really is, because they have never seen anything like that, you know? So it's really, yeah, it's a game changer. It really is a game changer. And so I'm excited. I'm so grateful that Jeff decided to bring Beth Chappell into the Stargirl series, is what I'm trying to say. And I'm so grateful that he chose me and he saw something in me, because it really, really is a huge responsibility. And honestly, whether, you know, someone else would have gotten the role over me, I still think it would have been a game changer. I am, of course, really excited it is me. But regardless, I think that, you know, it's really exciting that Beth Chappell gets to be this, like, this really intelligent Black woman on TV.
And you get to be that without having to be like a scientist, like your comics counterpart. Like, you're smart and you're still in high school, but you're still.
Right.
You still have that in you.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. I completely agree. Yeah. Not a scientist. I'm not doing surgeries, but yet still very smart, still funny, still optimistic, still a bright light, like still all those things. So yeah, I'm really excited. And it does really feel exactly like myself. So yeah, I'm really excited about all of that.
Speaking of it being exactly like yourself, the moment that really hit for me was I was on set at the high school and I was just like walking back to my car. I had finished what I was there to do. And you happened to be walking next to me and you were on the phone and you were like, oh, hey, mom. And you were like talking to your mom all super excited. And I was like, oh, my God, she's Beth.
Yes, absolutely. I am the most amazing relationship with my mom and my dad. I talk to my parents multiple times a day, every single day. Breck will be the one to tell you I am literally them. I have this cup that's actually in my bedroom that when Breck and I moved in together, I like put in our kitchen, and it's a cup that has photos of me and my parents on it. And she just was like, you are Beth. Like, you have photos of you and your parents everywhere. And I'm like, I know, I just love them so much. They're like my favorite people. It's so great. So yes, 100%. I was just going to bring that up, but I love that you brought that up. Cause I was going to say, that's probably the number one thing outside of like, yes, I think I'm positive and I do think I'm funny sometimes, but I definitely think the relationship that Beth has with her parents is very, very similar to the relationship I have with my parents, except my parents are a lot more receiving. My parents, like, they receive my love a little bit more than Beth's parents, which, you know, good or bad, take it how you want to. But my parents enjoy my phone calls. My parents love it.
I think Beth's parents will get there, you know, once she didn't make lunch for them, I think they learned to appreciate her more.
Absolutely. Right. Exactly.
And I want to say one more thing about representation. I don't know if you've ever heard Whoopi Goldberg's story about Star Trek.
No, I have not.
It is my favorite. She was a little girl. She was watching Star Trek and she saw Nichelle Nichols on playing Uhura. Mm-hmm. And she jumped up and she ran in the other room and she said, "Mama, mama, there's a black lady on TV and she ain't cleaning nothing."
I love that. Yes, that's exactly why it's so important. That's exactly it. That is exactly those moments. I totally know that character in Star Trek as well. My brother is an extreme Star Trek fan. So yes, completely know. And I didn't know that story about Whoopi, but also Whoopi is a huge inspiration in my own personal life as well. As far as like, even from The Color Purple, Sister Act, like I just grew up watching so many of her films that my parents would like pull out and show me just so I could see a black woman on TV, you know? Like, my parents were often making it a point that I would see what other black women were doing on television.
And she was there as that, to be that for you, because she saw good representation on TV. It was Uhura that created Whoopi Goldberg as we know her.
Absolutely.
And that's why representation is so important. And people that just cry about SJW stuff on TV, they just don't get it.
Right. I completely, you're 100% right. They don't, because they don't see why it is so important. It's easy when you've only seen people who look like you on TV growing up, right? Like, even growing up, it wasn't until I was probably like in well into elementary school that they started regularly making dolls that were black. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So they were finally making dolls that are black when I'm kind of like aging out of dolls. Like, I don't really care that much about dolls anymore. And then their hair didn't look like mine. It's not until now that they started making black dolls with like curly hair, because our hair is not always straight, you know? And so finally making them look like us and feel like us, and also making us different shades, because we're not all one shade. So
yeah.
It's just so important. And representation is everything, whether it's in media like television or film or commercials, right? Or even if it's in like dolls or toys or books. I think that it's everything. And I also think that it's the only way that we are going to move our society forward, when we start accepting and embracing and including everyone.
And I think that you're going to serve as an amazing ambassador for young black girls everywhere.
Thank you, Sean. I really appreciate that. I love that. Thank you so much. That makes me feel really good.
Well, thank you very much for being with us today. As I expected, you were a complete joy. And I really look forward to seeing the rest of the season and how everything shakes out. And hopefully, see you in season two.
Yes, hopefully season two, season three, season four. I would love all of that. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. And yeah, reminisce. This is so great. It's crazy that we filmed this like a year ago. It's crazy. So this is so great to like reminisce and think back on. And I'm so proud of it. And I can't wait to share it with the world. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stargirl After Show.
So, Sarah, let's just wrap up real quick. Can you please let the people know where they can find you online? Because they've been looking.
Yeah, if you go to wherever you listen to podcasts, you can search for What's New Nancy Drew. And you can listen to my co-host Ben and I as we talk about the new CW show Nancy Drew and break down the episodes and characters and all the questions that come up during the season. And Sean, where else can our listeners find you?
I have a podcast called Table Reads, where me and a couple of guys goof on scripts that never got made because they're bad, usually. There are some gems, though, and they're worth listening to as well. My co-hosts are utterly hilarious. I stand up when I podcast on that show, but sometimes I fall down because I'm laughing so hard at those guys. And I do my best to keep up, honestly. If you want to check that out, there are, God, so many episodes, 130 at least. And it is at tablereadspodcast.com.
And if you want to find the Stargirl After Show online, you can go to stargirlaftershow.com, or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Stargirl Pod.
All of that is true. We will be back next week with, how about our extended Breck Bassinger interview?
Oh, that's going to be so great. I can't wait to listen to it.
She is even more of a ray of sunshine, possibly, than Angelica Washington. I don't know. It's hard to say. They're both just so joyful as people. Yeah,
they really are.
And they were roommates during the production of Stargirl. So, like, what a perfect pairing.
Oh, that must have been the happiest place ever.
It's like the exact opposite of The Odd Couple. So tune in next week for that. I say tune in because I'm old. Obviously, you'll find that at your podcast app. Until then, have a super great day.
Stargirl After Show is a production of Fandom Limb Media.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.